यशोदनन्दन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदनन्दन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरा वनचारी जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्या नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः हरे कृष्ण सो वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 22 वर्स नंबर 35 तत्रापि मोक्ष एवार्थ आत्यंतिकत इष्यते येष्यते त्रैवर्ग्यो अर्थो यतो नित्यं क्रांत भयसंयुतः तत्रापि मोक्ष एवार्थ आत्यंतिकत येष्यते त्रैवर्ग्यो अर्थो यतो नित्यं क्रांत भयसंयुतः तत्रापि मोक्ष एवार्थ आत्यंतिकत येष्यते त्रैवर्ग्योत्तो यतो नित्यं क्रांत भयसंयुतः तत्रापि मोक्ष एवार्थ आत्यंतिकयत येष्यते त्रैवर्ग्योत्तो यतो नित्यं क्रांत भयसंयुतः तत्रापि मोक्ष एवार्थ आत्यंतिकत येष्यते त्रैवर्ग्योर्थो यतो नित्यं क्रांत कृतांत भयसंयुतः तत्रापि मोक्ष एवार्थ आत्यंतिकत इष्यते त्रैवर्ग्योत्त यतो नित्यं कृतांत भयसंयुतः Mataji would like to recite. Okay. Translation. Out of the four principles, namely religion, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation, liberation has to be taken very seriously. The other three are subject to destruction by the stringent law of nature, death. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Moksha or liberation has to be taken very seriously, even at the sacrifice of the other three items. As advised by Suta Goswami in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, religious principles are not based on success in economic development. Because we are very attached to sense gratification, we go to God, to the temple or churches for some economic reasons. Then again, economic development does not mean sense gratification. Everything should be adjusted in such a way that we attain liberation. Therefore, in this verse, liberation, moksha, is stressed. The other three items are material and therefore subject to destruction. Even if somehow we accumulate a great bank balance in this life and possess many material things, everything will be finished with death. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said that death is the Supreme Personality of Godhead who ultimately takes away everything acquired by the materialistic person. Foolishly, we do not care for this. Foolishly, we are not afraid of death. Nor do we consider that death will take away everything acquired by the process of dharma, artha, and kama. By dharma or pious activities, we may be elevated to the heavenly planets, but this does not mean freedom from the clutches of birth, death, old age, and disease. The purport is that we can sacrifice our interests in Trivargya, religious principles, economic development, and sense gratification, but we cannot sacrifice the cause of liberation. Regarding liberation, it is stated in Bhagavad Gita 4.9, Tyaktva deham punarjanma naiti. Liberation means that after giving up this body, one does not have to accept another material body. To the impersonalists, liberation means merging into the existence of impersonal Brahman. But factually, this is not moksha, because one has to again fall down into this material world from that impersonal position. One should therefore seek the shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and engage in His devotional service. That is real liberation. The conclusion is that we should not stress pious activities, economic development, and sense gratification, but should concern ourselves with approaching Lord Vishnu in His spiritual planets, of which the topmost is Goloka Vrindavan, where Lord Krishna lives. Therefore, this Krishna consciousness movement is the greatest gift for persons who are actually desiring liberation.
ओम अज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनाशलाकय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वापदान्तिकं वंदेहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश श्री रूपं सागरजातां सहगणा रघुनादान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजना सहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्री राधा कृष्णपादान् सहगणा ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगतपते गोपेशा गोपिका कांता राधाकांता नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचना गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामिने गौरत्विषे नमः वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेस्ताय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामीनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैता गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण।
सो वेलकम एवरीवन फॉर श्रीमद् भागवतम क्लास। सो आई डिस्कसिंग पृथु महाराज सेक्शन इन फोर्थ कैंटो वेयर फोर कुमारास हैव कम एंड दे आर इंस्ट्रक्टिंग पृथु महाराज इन वेरियस एस्पेक्ट्स ऑफ नॉलेज। सो टुडेज वर्स दे आर सेइंग दैट आउट ऑफ द फोर प्रिंसिपल्स namely religion, economic development, sense gratification and liberation. Liberation has to be taken very seriously. So the other three are subject to destruction by the stringent law of nature, death. So you will just see the flow of the chapter, why they are instructing this instruction to Prithu Maharaj, and we'll discuss. So initially, like Prithu Maharaj, previously Lord appeared and he told that the great personalities, four Kumaras, four great personalities will come and meet you. So as predicted by the Lord, four Kumaras have come. And Prithu Maharaj very nicely received them, these four Kumaras. And it said that when he saw these four Kumaras, is as if life has come to his body, like that he received them. And he also very worshipped them and greatly praised them, saying that it is very rare to see people like you. Even the Supreme Lord, he only travels in the form of the great saints in order to give knowledge about himself. So, and householders who receive great saints like you, they are more fortunate. Who doesn't receive, they are like unfortunate. And in this way, he wanted to ask for, like basically generally when someone meets someone, they will inquire, how are you? And they will inquire, what is your welfare, like that. But here, Prithu Maharaj, knowing that Kumaras, they are all great saints. So for great saints, there is no need to ask their welfare. So instead of asking their welfare, now he is asking that how can we become well? So what is the greatest, what is the greatest welfare for us? So that is the question he asked for Kumaras. So generally, as mentioned that sadhus, there is no need of asking for them the welfare, but sadhus know how to make everyone happy. So he's asking that how can we become happy, or what is the ultimate benefit for us? How can we attain welfare? So like that he asked question. So hearing this, the Kumaras, they were all very much pleased with the mental, with the attitude of Prithu Maharaj of receiving sadhus and asking questions. So they started appreciating Prithu Maharaj. Actually, your questions, whatever questions, your speech, this is all which is very meaningful, appropriate, concise and sweet. So they say that you have very nicely questioned us because you are always thinking of welfare of others. And although you know what is the welfare of others, although you know what is good for yourself and others, but still you are asking such questions because that is the behavior of saintly persons. So saintly persons, they always desire welfare for others and welfare for themselves, welfare for all beings. So because you yourself are a saintly person, you are a devotee of the Lord and Lord personally appeared before you. So just like you are desiring our association, we are also desiring your association. And such discussion between about the supreme benefit for everyone, that is actually that will be beneficial for everyone. So and therefore I will answer you. So Prithu Maharaj basically asked the question that how can we attain greatest welfare. So Prithu Maharaj is the some background about Prithu Maharaj. So Prithu Maharaj is the ruler. He is said to be the original king in this world. So he has greatly ruled this world. And previous to this section, several chapters we have discussed about Prithu Maharaj, where his glorious rule is described, how he has taken the welfare of his citizens very nicely, and he has all the qualities of devatas while ruling. So he's such a great person, Prithu Maharaj, and he had some issue, like while performing his sacrifices, he is performing 100 sacrifices and he has performed 99 sacrifices. But while performing 100 sacrifices, Indra became envious of Prithu Maharaj. So he came to disturb Prithu Maharaj's sacrifice, but still he is creating disturbances and Prithu Maharaj is continuing to do sacrifice. In order to stop that disturbance between Prithu Maharaj and Indra, Lord Brahma himself came and kind of asked Prithu Maharaj to not perform this 100 sacrifice so that Indra will be pacified. So Prithu Maharaj, hearing the words of Brahmaji, he stopped his 100 sacrifice. So it's like century. To make century is like very, it will, like everyone is, like someone, some batsman, if he gets out at 99, he will feel lot of distress. So Prithu Maharaj, he could not complete 100 sacrifice, but he willingly sacrificed, not doing 100 sacrifice. So for that act of that sacrifice, Lord Vishnu is pleased. So Lord Vishnu has come and told Prithu Maharaj, gave instructions that, and I am very much pleased with you. And Prithu Maharaj also expressed his desire to Lord Vishnu that I want your devotional service. So that is the background of Prithu Maharaj, such a great devotee, and he is ruling. So now in his kingdom, he also instructed his citizens how to take care of sadhus, how to behave properly, and all those things. Now four Kumaras, who are the sons of Lord Brahma, they have come and they are instructing. So when they have come, Prithu Maharaj has asked about what is the highest welfare, how can we gain greatest welfare. So for that, four Kumaras, Chatush Kumaras, they are answering that actually the mindset that you have, O Prithu Maharaj, that is very rare, because you have lot of attachment to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu. And when actually that attachment to Lord Vishnu, that cleanses the lusty desires or desires within the heart. So the desires within the heart, they are compared to kashaya. Kashaya is like mineral dye. For example, if there is some very sticky thing, like in our clothes, if something very sticky thing got in our clothes, it is very difficult to wash. Even if you apply so much So many soaps and everything you apply, it is very, very difficult to remove. So these desires in a heart, they are compared to this kashaya, this like, it is very difficult to remove. But the way to remove them is to get attached to the Supreme Lord. So with that, like when we develop attachment, rati towards the Lord, that rati we develop, this is like giving higher taste. So when we attain higher taste, we automatically give up lower taste. So similarly, when we develop rati towards the Lord, the inferior desires, lust and other things, they will automatically can be given up. So that is the way. And you have that mentality, that attitude, you already have that love. So that is, you are very fortunate. And so you have asked me about what is the highest benefit for the whole society. So the only cause of benefit for the society is two things, he says. Bodily detachment, means detachment from the bodily concept of life. That means, generally, it is said that we are the soul, but we are living in this body. And because we identify this with this body, we undergo this samsara. So, but when one understands by true knowledge that we are not this body, actually we are self. So that detachment, so the not having attachment to this body, that is the greatest benefit. And second, so the detachment is the greatest benefit, and also the strong attachment to the Lord. So that is the second thing that one can, the greatest benefit one will achieve. So detachment from the body and attachment to the Lord. Two things are greatest benefit for the human society. But how can we develop this? So it is very easy to say that we have to detach from the body and we have to attach to the Lord. But there should be some process to do. It will automatically, just by knowing knowledge or understanding sambandha, we will not develop that attachment. We will not gain that detachment and attachment to the Lord. Detachment to the bodily concept and attachment to the Lord. We have to follow some process. So then they say, what is the process to be followed? They say that by one should be faithful and inquisitive about the process of bhakti and applying bhakti yoga in our life, when worshipping the Lord, regularly hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, associating with persons who are and also not associating with persons who are simply interested only in bodily concept of life, only in sense gratification and making money. So, and developing some taste for higher things like solitary living, gaining satisfaction in the self, following in the footsteps of great acharyas, and tasting the sweetness of the Lord's pastimes. So all these things, not criticizing others, living simply, tolerating dualities. This is the prath they have given, that by following all these things, one can develop rati towards the Lord. And by constantly hearing these glories of the Lord in the association, so that devotee will develop the rati towards the Lord. So actually the hearing of the glories of the Lord from Bhagavatam and others, that is said to be karnapura. That means they are like the ornaments to the ears by hearing. So that's what he mentions, that rati. And when a person, he develops that rati towards the Lord, automatically that subtle body burns. Means generally we undergo this samsara because of this subtle body. So subtle body has basically lot of impressions within our mind. So so many lifetimes we have accumulated so many impressions. In this lifetime also we have accumulated lot of impressions. So all these impressions are there in our heart, in our subtle body, and generally we identify with that subtle body. So it's like everyone has these subtle body within them that is there. So this is like we can compare these impressions to a path. So if someone travels in a path frequently, that path will be clear and it is easily accessible. But if someone is not traveling in that path, so that path will be over the time, it will be covered over by bushes and other things. So similarly, whatever things we are doing day in and day out, that kind of creates like a path, which is like a samskara. And whatever things we are avoiding, those paths will, in due course of time, they will be covered. So one should clearly understand that previously, before coming to Krishna consciousness, or we had a lot of desires, or we have done so many things. So all those impressions, they are there in our subtle consciousness. So, but slowly by practicing devotional service and by avoiding not doing those things, those are slowly getting covered away. But if we are not careful enough that we have those impressions, if we again, give in to those past desires, again those paths are getting cleared away. Like some path is like just now getting covered by the plants and other things. But again, if someone walks, again those plants will be, it's like again the chance of reviving that path will be more. So similarly, that impressions of anything, like we have vasanas, if someone he comes across again those bad tendencies, again the chance of reviving that path will become more, and the covering will take long time. Similarly, the new path, the good samskaras that we are striving, by going again and again in those good samskaras, that will be more clear and we will be able to easily go through that path. But if we neglect that good activities, even this path may cover up. So that's why it is very important to understand that all these impressions, they are there within our subtle body, and we are living with this subtle body. And while practicing bhakti, we should understand that all those past samskaras are there. So if I come across this situation, I may get in trouble. So we should try to avoid those situations. We should try to avoid those paths in that thing. That's why bhakti is, these four kumaras, they are seeing that, they are saying that while this one, how this subtle body is destroyed, when one sees that objects of sense gratification, that they are no longer, they are sense objects, means they don't get agitated. And there are no internal disturbances also. So actually, like we can get agitated by two types of things. Like one is like when we see externally, so that is like one kind of object. And actually there are impressions of that object within our subtle body. So like in Uddhava Gita also it will come, this discussion, that while the sense objects enter into the mind and mind enter into sense objects. So that means we directly come in direct contact with the sense object, that is one type. And sometimes the impressions within our mind, they get agitated and they come to mind. So in both cases, we should understand that this is not real. Means this sense gratification will ultimately lead to misery. I should not act upon it. By understanding that, he ceased to act. So in that way, that understanding, by that this again this path will lead to new samskaras, this is not good for me. By not undergoing that path, he is slowly clearing away those paths. And slowly by practicing bhakti, new samskaras are created, and slowly these will get wiped away. So that is the process. The subtle body is getting destroyed. So he understands that all the objects, they are like the objects experienced in a dream. So in that way, he will not get affected by these sense objects. In that way, subtle body slowly getting transformed into spiritual thing by practicing bhakti. So he will not see themselves as enjoyers, and he will not see the objects of this material world meant for sense enjoyment. So then when that subtle body is absent, he can directly in touch with the Lord. So by the process of bhakti, he can come out of this thing. So but as long as this subtle body is there, he will continue to perceive this duality in this world. He will continue to see himself as the body, and in that way he will distinguish this in this world. So therefore this subtle body needs to be removed. And what is so how, this subtle body, basically this is the cause of samsara. He says that how this subtle body is acting, how this attachment to sense gratification is making him samsara. That he explains that generally when the mind is thinking of sense gratification, it becomes agitated, and when it becomes agitated, that discrimination of the intelligence becomes lost, and because of that memory is destroyed, and because of that knowledge is destroyed. So what is this memory is being getting destroyed, that Madhava Gopal Prabhu is discussing, that what is this memory is lost means the memory of previous suffering associated with this kind of sense gratification. Actually that becomes destroyed. So like when his mind becomes attached, so that verse, dhyayato vishyan pumsa sangasteshu upajayate sangat sanjayate kama kamat krodho vijayate krodhat bhavati sammoha sammohat smriti vibramaha. That smriti vibramaha there in that verse refers to the memory of previous experience of suffering, or the memory of the knowledge of the scriptures, that scriptures are saying this is wrong and this is right. So at that particular point of time, he loses that memory and he falls down. So that is what it is mentioned. So that wise consider, therefore, that loss of knowledge itself as the destruction of the soul. So Pradhuma, they are saying. So therefore, one constantly thinks of money and sense objects, one is bringing destruction of what is his actual self-interest. So because of that, he is constantly traveling in this samsara. He is entering even lower species of life. So they are advising that one who desires for their own welfare, they should never associate with things which destroy their real self-interest. So therefore, they should never get attached to things which destroy dharma, artha, kama and moksha. So previous verse, he mentions that, therefore one should never come in touch with things which obstruct dharma, artha, kama and moksha. In this verse, he is giving special importance to moksha. Of these four purusharthas, moksha has to be taken very seriously. Why? Because the other three are subject to destruction by the stringent law of nature, death. So Prabhupada in this purport, he is writing that actually this other three, the dharma, artha, kama, they may give some pleasure in this lifetime, they may even give some pleasure in next life, but they will ultimately will be taken away. So therefore, one should, for ultimate benefit, one should consider liberation to be very seriously. Even in next verse also, the same theme continues. One should take care of this moksha. If one is dedicated to this path of sense gratification, all his like dharma, the kama, whatever he is achieving, by the force of time, the Lord in the form of time factor, all these other three will be destroyed, and therefore there is all inauspicious for these people, and they achieve some body in these three modes. Even Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, he says that he achieved the body of Brahma and other types, Indra and other types, but these are all in these three modes, so therefore it is not so auspicious. So even he is comparing that body of devatas and Brahma also not so auspicious, because they are subject to death. So Bhagavatam, when it is talking about like Prudhumar, all the Kumara's instruction, Bhagavatam, from starting onwards, it is rejecting all the inferior principles of Dharma and focusing on higher principle. So even the greatest position in this world, like Brahmaji and Indra and all these positions, they, Bhagavatam is kind of rejecting. Dharma Projita Kaitavotra Paramo Nirmatsaranam Satam. So very lofty principles that Bhagavatam is talking about. So that even the position of Indra and other things, they will go away in the point of time. So therefore, one should think for the highest welfare. Even Narada Muni, while instructing Vyasadeva, he thinks that one should think like the from Brahmaloka to anywhere in this world, there are so many things to achieve, but one should strive for those things which will not be attained in this world. That means the one should strive for liberation, which is higher than these things. Because the why this is mentioned again and again, even in Kapila Dev sections, this discussion will come. Why moksha has to be taken seriously, not the heavenly planets. So they, whenever this topic comes, they describe that it's like a cycle. You keep on rotating. You may do some pious activities. You may try to achieve artha, but it may give some kind of happiness in this life or in swarga, but that is all temporary. Means after some time it will get destroyed. Kapil Dev says that it is actually very with great trouble one will attain artha and kama in this world. With great pain he attain some things. But whatever he attained through great pain, artha and other things, through the process of the Supreme Lord in the form of time factor, he destroys. So therefore, a conditioned soul laments. So he initially works very hard to attain, but even after attaining, after some time, the Lord in the form of time, he destroys. Therefore, he laments. And sometimes he is put in higher positions and sometimes in lower positions. But the reality of this world is wherever he is put, after some time he gets adjusted to that place. Kapil Dev says that he feels even in hell, he takes delight in hellish enjoyment. So that is the nature of this Maya, that even though he is suffering, he thinks that he is happy in that situation. So kind of adjustment is there. We know that story of pig, how that Indra becomes pig and he doesn't want to come out of that situation. So similarly, the Maya makes it that even though in this world he is suffering, he cannot understand that he is suffering. So the scriptures, therefore, Kapil Dev, and again, he is saying that you undergoing this suffering, but by performing bhakti, you can come out of this situation and you can achieve the higher situation. So therefore, their remand is again and again. So man, Kapil Dev is saying that he thinks that he is the controller, and although he is burning with anxiety, he again and again performs so many activities, and he thinks he is the controller and he maintains his family and society like that. So how, like, for sometimes some kind of people say that a man is thinking that I am the controller of this family. So sometimes he is thinking he is the controller, and someone comes to him and asks, So actually, he says that I am the controller of this family. So all some small decisions my wife will take, and big decisions I will take. So in this way, I'm controlling, like that, he says. Then they ask, so so can you explain what you mean? So all the small decisions, like where the students need to study, my children needs to study, or which house to take, where to live, all these small decisions my wife will take care. Then what you do, then I take big decisions, that who should become prime minister of this country, who should become the chief minister of this state. So all these big things I will take care. So like that, he says. So, but actually, everyone, he is so much attached that he thinks he can control, but he will not be able to. He struggles very hard to maintain his family and society. And he, in that way, he drags in his entire life, not giving importance to the bhakti. So at that time, that unfortunate man, he will be, by the loss of nature, he is awarded the next life. So Kapil Dev goes on to explain the sufferings he undergoes. But in Uddhava Gita, Krishna also says that even if we attain swarga by dharma, dharmic activities, but still there, after enjoying for some time, he has to come down again. So this cycle will continue. Therefore, one has to take this liberation aspect very seriously. So that is even Lord Krishna says to Uddhava, even if you achieve Brahma's life, and even Brahmaji is afraid of me in the form of time, that his lifespan also will get over. So therefore, one should understand this nature of this material world, that no matter how much enjoyment he may enjoy, even in Swarga and other places, everything will be taken away in the form of time. So therefore, one should take the cause of liberation, one should take to the path of liberation. And that liberation is also, Prabhupada is mentioning that people, two types he is mentioning, the one who want to merge into the Brahma Jyoti, and others, they may practice devotional service and achieve the Supreme Personality of God at Goloka, achieve the Supreme Lord in the form of Goloka Vrindavan, highest planet. So therefore, out of these two, the other thing, the achieving the liberation in the form of Goloka Vrindavan, that is the topmost thing, Prabhupada is saying. Therefore, this Krishna consciousness movement is the greatest gift for persons who are actually desiring liberation. So because actually this Krishna consciousness is greatest gift, because generally to start practicing bhakti, little bit vairagya is required. That's why Kapil Dev explains that full section, how living entity is suffering. And but bhakti, so that will come by chance, by association with devotees. So people will come to devotional service by associating with devotees, by practicing along with them. And they may not initially understand that importance of liberation and this bhakti, but by practicing, just by seeing devotees, by developing that is giving them greatest opportunity to get liberated. So means even unknowingly they start practicing, that is awarding them the highest benefit, which jnanis and others, they struggle a lot to achieve. And after coming into this Krishna consciousness or bhakti, one will slowly understand that in this life they are undergoing a lot of struggles, and by this simple process of hearing about Krishna, one can achieve the highest benefit. So, and this Krishna consciousness is greatest benefit because this bhakti is susukam kartum avyayam. It very easily can be practiced, the simple process of chanting and simple process of hearing Krishna Kada. So, and the highest benefit even is awarded by hearing about the pastimes of Krishna. So, and one can achieve Golok Vrindavan simply by hearing again and again the pastimes of Krishna performs in Vrindavan, and by developing the attachment to the holy name of the Lord. So, one should again and again hear about Krishna's pastimes. So, I thought what are the activities of Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan? So, by hearing which one can develop that desire to achieve Krishna and one can go. I thought we can, as Janmashtami is also coming, we can just briefly discuss some activities of Krishna in Vrindavan. So, what he does in Vrindavan while Sukadeva Goswami is mentioning that he moved to Vrindavan from his childhood Gokul to Vrindavan, he moved. So there he is worshipping, he is taking care of cows. So one day they wanted to have picnic in the Vrindavan forest. So Krishna is herding cows and he wanted to take his breakfast and other things in Vrindavan. So whenever Krishna gets up, like, he is very eager to go to Vrindavan, so he is sounding his horn, and all his friends, they are also, all his friends in Vrindavan, they are very much attracted to Krishna, and they are there with throughout the day, and while night, their only meditation is, tomorrow when we get up, again we will be with Krishna, and we can go towards Vrindavan. So as soon as all the cowherd boys, they heard this sound of flute and bugle from Krishna, they all woke up and they also came with their calves in front of them. So Krishna had, it is mentioned that, asankhya calves. So asankhya is like so much, like Vishnu Jagat Thakur, he gives so much count, it is like 10 power some number. So those many calves Krishna has. So all these boys and Krishna, they keep their cows in front of them and they move to Vrindavan. And they are all in very sportive spirit while going. So, previously, these boys, they are all decorated by their mothers with the ornaments and pearls, gold, kancha, gunja, etc. But while going, they again decorate themselves with all the florist flowers, gunja, like we decorate Vrindavan Bihari with... So that is like naturally they want to decorate themselves. So Krishna also decorates himself with peacock feathers and all these bunches of flowers, green leaves, fruits, soft minerals, and all the boys also decorate themselves. And while going, all these cowherd boys, they play a lot of things, lot of games, like lunch boxes they used to take. And one boy, they steal one other person's lunch box. And they taste some good items. And when the other boy comes to know, that boy comes to him and this other boy throws the other way. So in this way they used to play. And Krishna, seeing the beauty of Vrindavan, he used to go little ahead to see rivers and Govardhan. Seeing that Krishna is ahead, all the cowherd boys, they think that we will touch Krishna first. Like that they used to come and touch Krishna. While moving, lot of animals are there. They used to imitate the different animals, different birds. And birds used to go above. They used to go in those shadows. Swans are there. They imitate that walk of swans. They used to see monkeys. Monkeys used to make lot of faces. And they also imitate like monkeys. Frogs are there. They used to jump into river. So they also sit along with frogs and they also used to jump along with frogs, just like imitating. And when sometimes they see their own image in the lake, they used to mock at them and there will be echo. So in that way, they used to have a lot of fun. And they used to play with Krishna. So in this way, all these boys are playing with Krishna. So it is mentioned that, Sukadeva Goswami mentioned that these cowherd boys, they are playing with Krishna. They don't know who is Krishna. He says that, Ittam satam brahma sukanubhutya dasyam gatanam paradaivatena mayashritanam chanaradarakena sakam vijahru krita punya punja. They have done a lot of punya, so by which they are now able to play with Krishna, who gives Brahma Sukha for great saintly persons, and who is the Supreme Lord for people who have entered into the mood of Dasya, and who is for ordinary people who are affected with Maya, he appears like another ordinary person. But he is the Supreme Lord for people who have entered into the mood of servitude. With that Krishna, these cowherd boys, they are playing. By what? By doing Krita Punya Punja, by doing pious activities. So what is these pious activities? So these pious activities are not ordinary material activities. These are like again and again performing devotional activities. So by that they have achieved that position. Of course, some of the boys are eternal devotees of the Lord. So they are by eternal, they are associates of the Lord. Some others, by performing devotional activity, they have attained that position of that friend of Krishna. So these, and they are saying that, Sukadeva Goswami again says that, Yat pada pamsur bahu janma krucrata dhritatma bir yogi birapyalabhyaha saeva yadruk vishaya svayam stita kimvanyate dishtamato vrajaukasam. So the yogis, they will take bahu janma krucrata, it is very difficult to attain the lotus feet of the Lord by yogis, to attain the lotus dust of the Lord. But the same Lord, the yogis which very difficulty attain, and that same Lord is appearing before these Vrajavasis in their eyes. So what great fortune these Vrajavasis have. They are able to personally see the form of the Lord, personally associate with the Lord, and able to talk in this way. So how can we explain the great fortune of the Lord? So like that, Sukadeva Goswami glorifies the fortune of the Vrajavasis. And then he narrates the story of Agasur, where one great demon Agasur has come in the form of Python, and all the cowherd boys, they see this great Python, and they think that is it an arrangement made by Maya, that so that we can enjoy, that Vrindavan has arranged these scenes so that we can enjoy, or is it a living entity? Then they see, they understand that it is a living entity, but still they don't have fear. So they think that even if it is a great demon, this Krishna, he will, just like he killed Bakasur, he will kill this this demon also. So therefore they freely enter into that demon. But that same Agasur, the devatas, they are looking from above. Actually, they are very much afraid of this Agasur. So the comparison is given, the devatas' position and the associates of the Lord. So they don't have fear of seeing this great demon, but the devatas, they are fearing of this great demon. So, but they all enter into that great demon's body. And Krishna, he thinks he is now in a dilemma. Like all his friends, they have entered into the body of Agasur, but I have to save them. So he thinks for some time, and he, in order to save all his friends, he also enters into the mouth of Agasur. Just as soon as Krishna enters into the mouth of Agasur, all the devatas, they are all very much afraid. But Krishna, after entering, he expands himself into the mouth of Agasur, and Agasur was not able to breathe. So he gives up his life, and the soul from Agasur comes out of this body and stays outside. And Krishna delivers all his friends they all friends came back, came out of the mouth of Agasur, and Krishna comes back. So after Krishna coming back, that Agasur, who is now in the form of that light, he enters into the body of Krishna. So that is a great surprise for everyone, because this Agasur is a demon and he came to kill Krishna, but he got liberated. So we are discussing about moksha, how difficult moksha is to attain. But this Agasur, he attained liberation simply by being in association with Krishna, and Krishna entered that. So that is a great surprise how he attained that liberation. So for that, Parikshit Maharaj, Sukadev Goswami, he gives explanation how Agasur, he attained easily that liberation. Actually, Agasur, he entered into the body of Krishna. So that is not actually Sahajya Mukti. He has attained Sarupya Mukti. So he attained the association of Krishna. Association, actually he attained Vaikuntha. So how he got? So Sukadeva Goswami mentioned that Sakrut yadanga pratimantarahita mano mayi bhagavatim dadaugatim saeva nityatma sukanu bhutyabhi vyudastamayontar gato hikim puna. So if one takes the form of the Lord in their hearts, they will attain supreme destination. So what to speak of this Agasur, in whom the Lord has personally entered. So Sukadeva Goswami is saying that if one is always meditating on the form of the Lord, and even he says that Pratima Antarahita. So Jiva Goswami actually says that even better than meditating on the form of the Lord is to meditating on the deity form of the Lord, where one constantly worships the form. So in that way, the mind can easily enter into that form of the Lord. So that's why it's mentioned that Anga Pratima Antarahita. So taking the form of the Lord, or deity form into the Lord, he will attain liberation. But this Agasur, the Lord, Supreme Lord, has personally entered into that body of the Agasur. So therefore, it is what to speak of him. So his mentality is completely removed. Generally, only by bhakti one will attain the Lord. So Agasur, in general, that principle applies for any other form of the Lord. But Krishna is so special. His form is so special. Therefore, Krishna, whenever he comes, the lot of mercy also flows. So when Krishna entered into that Agasur, because he personally entered, that mentality of Agasur has completely changed. So therefore, he got that opportunity of associating with the Lord. But he has attained the form of Vaikuntha. With Sarupya Mukti, but he has not necessarily in Vrindavan. So he did not attain a form in Vrindavan because he lacked that particular type of bhakti, but he had attained Sarupya in Vaikuntha, and his unfavorable attitude has been changed to favorable attitude. So that is how Agasur got liberation, just by associating with the Lord. So in our case also, as four Kumaras, they are saying that liberation has to be taken seriously in consideration with other factors which will go with the time. So we also take process of devotional service seriously, and we aim for things which are eternal. So, and the same things also applies to our chanting also. In chanting also, we are taking the Lord in our tongues. The Lord is personally dancing. The Lord's name is also non-different from the Lord. So when we are chanting, we are actually associating with the Lord. So just like we are worshipping the deity, we will be very respectful. We are very, we know that Lord is personally present in deity form. We are respectfully dealing.
Similarly, when we treat in the same way the holy name of the Lord while chanting, the Lord is personally present. I have to be attentive. I have to be with the Lord. And if we serve the Lord in that way, we also develop that taste in the holy name of the Lord. So, like for example, initially, while seeing the deity, we may not have any feelings. But after serving the deity for some time, after daily taking darshan, we develop that attachment. Similarly, with the holy name, we are associating with the Lord. And by chanting repeatedly, by serving the holy name repeatedly, same attachment we will also develop over the period of time. And in this way, by practicing bhakti, we can achieve this liberation. So I will end here. Shri Grandhara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Hare Krishna.